You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, welcome back to the B-List. I'm B, and I'm here with a new guest. It's his first time here, but like a first-time talker, but like we've been following each other for quite a while on social, so I'm really happy to have him on. It's Danny Pellegrino.
Hello, B. Hello. I feel like we have done this before, but I don't think we have.
Yeah, we haven't. It's like funny because I feel like we've kind of like been navigating like the same kind of like world on social and stuff, and run into each other on there, but like never really linked up. So this is really fun.
Right. Well, it's all changing now. Now you're stuck with me for the you and your listeners. I apologize. Hopefully I don't let them down, but we have a lot to talk about. So I'm sure we'll have some fun.
For those not familiar, though, I'm sure there's not many of you aren't familiar, but it's Danny Pellegrino. Like I said, all of you guys are probably familiar with him. He's a jack of all trades, pretty much. Host of Everything Iconic, that's the podcast. A New York Times bestselling author. The new book, The Jolliest Bunch, Unhinged Holiday Stories. We'll talk about that soon in a second. And then also the previous book was How Do I Unremember This? Did I leave anything off?
That's great. Thank you so much. I'm blushing a little bit. How are you doing today? How have you been?
Good, busy day. It's a Monday. Lots to talk about for sure. I feel like I've been shot out of a cannon, but
there seems to be like a lot of this time of year in general is really challenging to like keep up with everything. There's so much holiday stuff going on, and there's a million parties and functions and all that kind of shit that takes up a lot of time. And then when you add on like the Bravo stuff on top of it, because there's a lot going on in the Bravo universe, it just feels impossible to keep up with everything. I mean, there's movies and TV shows and stuff that I've been wanting to watch. I'm like, I need to get to that. I guess everything's going to have to wait until that last week of the year when we all have some more downtime.
I haven't even seen one episode of Gilded Age. So like, don't even, it's like, I, that's,
but I was like just talking to someone about that.
To like watch in one go, because like you can't watch it on a weekly basis because not enough happens. It's like Roni. It's like they served this at dinner, can you believe? Or like one person like left their house and crossed the street, like nothing actually happens. So it's better to watch it in like one big go, you know?
Okay, you're like the fifth person to bring up Gilded Age to me recently. I need to watch it because it does,
you would like it.
Right,
it's
up
like
my alley.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
it's very Danny Pellegrino. But this is kind of like your favorite time of the year. This is like, right? I mean, I feel like I know you, but like, this is kind of your time.
Yeah,
right?
You know, I like anything that's sort of festive. So I do love this time of year just because I love the twinkle lights and all of the colors and everything that goes along with the end of the year holidays. But I really do like love Halloween. I love getting even like a Valentine's Day thing. Like, I just love kind of the anything sort of festive, to be honest with you. But I tend to like the end of the year because there's all this stuff. And I do need the forced breaks. I mean, I just mentioned like that last week at the end of the year. And I always love that week or the week right of Thanksgiving, right after Thanksgiving, I should say, when it's like the meal is done and then you just sort of have that weekend. My boyfriend and I, we didn't travel this year. So we were just in our house watching TV for that whole weekend. And it's like, I need those sort of forced breaks to sit and vegetate a little bit.
That's true. Yeah. And like I said, I think when I think of the holidays, I do think of like you, because I, like I said, I feel like I know you just from social alone, but it's really funny to have you on the podcast. Cause I feel like I love the holidays too, but I feel like we have, you and I feel like we, like I said, navigate that same pop culture world, but I feel like have like sometimes the same takes, but vastly different ways of verbalizing that, I guess. Like I felt like sometimes mine might be a little bit like darker. Yours are a little more like, you know, like the PG. And I love it. I love like that we have that kind of like the same throughway, but ways of kind of vocalizing. It's hard to,
And I love a little darker. I mean, I tend to be, I always think of that woman from Mean Girls who's like, I just want to bake a cake of rainbow bows or whatever. That's how I always feel like, but I always like, I like that. My boyfriend, he's kind of the opposite of me, and he's much more, God, what's the word I'm looking for? Like blunt, and he doesn't mince his words or anything. And I sometimes feel like I'm so, I don't know, trying to make sure everybody's getting along and happy and everything like that. And so I tend to be attracted to people who have that harder edge or are maybe a little bit darker.
You're like Dorinda when she's setting up the decorations, and I'm Dorinda five drinks in, you know?
I love that analogy. And yes, exactly. Like or even spring. Just Dorinda two drinks in, because I feel like it doesn't take much.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, the holidays. First, let's talk about the book a bit. The Jolliest Bunch, Unhinged Holiday Stories. That just came out in late October, I want to say.
Yeah, right? It came out right before Halloween, which is weird because, yes, there's a Christmas tree on the cover. And it is mostly like, and each chapter is its own little story. So it's like an essay collection. And most of the essays are around the end of year holidays, like Thanksgiving and Christmas time. But it did come out right before Halloween, which has been a real mind fuck for me, because I'm like, I don't know when we are. And I was also sort of writing it not in holiday time. And so my brain is kind of all over the place. But yeah, it's a holiday collection that hopefully makes people laugh. There are a couple more dramatic chapters in there too. But for the most part, I just wanted each chapter to make people giggle and smile and check out of their lives. If they hate the holidays, hopefully they can curl up with the book and just have some laughs. And if they really like the holidays, hopefully it'll put them in the spirit and make them feel festive.
I didn't look, but is there an audio version?
There is. Yeah. Yes.
I love an audiobook, guys. Oh my God.
The audiobook is fun. It's
out. Are you a physical book versus audio when it comes to the Britney story?
Yeah. Well, for Britney, I did read the print. I kind of like a printed book in general. Okay. I like holding it, and I like earmarking it and whatever.
Then there's somewhere I'm like, I have to get the audio.
Yeah, but I heard so many good things about the Britney audio.
Yeah,
Michelle Williams obviously is an incredible actor, and so I've heard it's great. I need to check that out. Also, by the way, I just saw that Michelle Williams and Kirsten Dunst were reunited today. Right before we started recording, I saw a picture of them together, and they starred in that movie Dick together. Did you? So good. It made me so happy. It made me so happy to see the two of them together. But yes, I need to get the Britney audiobook. But I read the hardcover. I was traveling and I wandered into a bookstore and I was like begging the people. This was a week before the Britney book was released, and it was a gay bookstore. And I was like doing anything I could to sort of flirt or whatever to get the hard copy of the book ahead of time. And I was able to kind of get it, the hardcover. But so I read it as quickly as possible on a plane.
You ever like think sometimes, I think like the bookstore is like my favorite place, like, or you know what specifically, because this is totally your wheelhouse, which is like early 2000s nostalgia, and like great places is like Barnes and Noble stores or Borders. Do you remember Borders?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I worked at a Borders. I love.
Oh my
Borders.
God. That's amazing. I love that. So like this generation will never have places where they can just go like that.
No. And also I think there's a part of gay culture that gets lost with bookstores closing, because I mean, at least I can speak for myself in my town, hometown of Solon, Ohio, like there was no access to gay stuff really. And the internet was still in its infancy. So I do remember like you could get online or whatever, but you'd have to connect through the modem or whatever. But so you could go to Borders, the cafe, and like get gay magazines like The Advocate or or even details is pretty gay, even though it wasn't exactly gay, but you can get, you could get some of those and sort of sneak them in the cafe and read them, and or even books. There was a book by a guy named Joel Dirfner that I remember sneaking in a Borders and like reading covertly in the corner of the cafe. Yeah. And it was my first introduction to a lot of gay things because it just wasn't happening much on TV or film or in the town that I was in.
Well, now you're that gay writer too.
I remember that book I just mentioned. I remember so vividly reading it and just being blown away that this guy was writing an essay collection. And it was about, he had stuff in there about dating and sex and romance and then also just like work stuff and everyday life and pop culture references. And I just thought like, oh my God, I didn't know that this was a possibility. I didn't know that somebody could write a book like that.
Well, now you're like realizing it.
Yourself. Thank you.
You were on Watch What Happens Live recently, right? Were you?
I was, yeah. Lisa Barlow, which was a thrill.
Oh my God, that must have been a trip.
Yes.
Did you, because you've been on before, right?
I have, yes. Yeah, I was on a couple times were during COVID when it was like a Zoom thing. And then I think I've done like three in person.
Do you have a favorite co-star?
Oh gosh, it was really cool to be with Lisa Barlow just because I had never met her and she was sort of exactly what I wanted her to be. So that was really fun. And I was also on with Katie Maloney once and I know her a little bit. I've interviewed her a few times. So I was pretty relaxed, but it was during the height of Scandoval, which, so that was kind of fun.
Do you have a dream co-star?
Oh, you know, I would love, I mean, like Cher.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a few people, Meg Ryan and Cher to me are both two people. Mariah Carey, like they're all three up there.
Yeah.
And so I would die to sit next to one of them or to just be like in the audience or whatever, just near them. Cause I love them so much. And they were, the reason I am thinking of them so quickly is because they were also like out promoting things. So I kept having this fantasy, like Cher was out promoting her holiday album. And I was like, what if she's going to be taping Watch What Happens Live while I'm there or something?
Yeah.
Like you have this like crazy fantasy, but I never got to bump into her, but I did. I would love to sit
next
to her.
If I ever did, mine would be Jack Hay Harry.
Yes. Yeah. Did you see the one with Regina when they were so drunk?
Yes. So drunk. That would be my fucking, like, oh my God.
She's the funniest fucking person ever.
Yes, absolutely. An icon. Yeah.
It would be fun to get on there with somebody who is like being messy, drunk or messy or something. I don't know.
Or even if I get to be the one, you know, I could, I could carry the weight.
When you think of some of those like great moments from that show, you think of that like Jack Hay moment. And yeah, it would be great to be there during one of those, like to just witness it all.
Yeah. Speaking of holidays, really quick, switch gears. I was thinking of holiday films and how we kind of vary different. Like I love the holidays too, but like my take on like favorite holiday films is more like, I think of the ones that like Batman Returns is to me a quintessential adolescent holiday film that's not a holiday film, or like Scrooged is one of my favorites, but also an unholiday film, you know?
Yeah.
But there's so many. I mean, I think my favorite of all time is Bridget Jones's Diary. Which kind of is a holiday film, but again, isn't really.
It's adjacent.
It's adjacent. It fits into that category. Do you have a favorite?
You know, Batman Returns is really one of my favorites, although it's not like the traditional thing people think of, but I love that movie ever since I was a little kid. I remember watching there's the scene at the end where Michelle Pfeiffer is giving the kiss to Christopher Walken with the laser thing or the, what's it called? You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah.
At the very end, and she's got the mask off and she's like, give me a kiss, Santa Claus. You know, she does this speech right before then as she's got the whip. And I remember just rewinding my tape and watching that over and over again because I was so blown away by Michelle Pfeiffer. And,
she did all her own whip work.
She's got a few moments in that obviously we look back on that now and think she should have been nominated for awards and whatever, but it really was so brilliant. And I think if it had come out now or something, maybe it would be more looked at in the awards way, but she's just so good. So I do love that movie, although it's not one that I would like pick with family or something like that. Otherwise I tend to like Christmas Vacation or Home Alone or some of those kinds of movies, but But really, I'm like a holiday movie junkie. So you give me something with a Muppet or
yeah,
anything with a holiday tree, I'm good to go.
Do you have a favorite holiday dad, like from a movie?
Oh, gosh. You know what I was just talking to your friend with was that the dad from Home Alone, who I don't even think, I don't
What's
know
his
if
name?
He's, I don't think
I
he's still with us, the actor.
I think he did pass. I think he passed like in the past couple of years. I know who you're talking about,
but
I forget.
Okay, wait. Did you have like a little kind of crush? I mean, he's like a sexy dad, right?
Yes. Oh, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Listen, but yeah. You're asking the wrong person. Like, it doesn't take much. So, so I'm a little bit eggnog and I'm.
Right. I even think Tim, there's a scene in the first Santa Claus with Tim Allen where he's in boxers. And I remember as a young kid being like, oh my God, look that. I was like a little attracted to him.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much for me either. But yeah, I think that the dad in Home Alone, I think I was attracted to him. How about
dad
you?
Dad would have to be Chevy Chase, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just from National Lampoon's.
I think Chevy is probably crazy and people have such horror stories about him, but
I was just going to ask, he's not really been canceled though, right? There's not really anything that's come out, knock on wood.
I'm sure there's something that we're missing, but in the 80s and 70s and 80s, he was very attractive.
Yeah. Like Lauren Fletch Lives and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And very funny. Like his timing is great, but I think he might be an awful person in real life now, but I don't know the exact ins and outs of that, but it doesn't matter at this point. We're just talking about 89, which is, I think, when the Christmas Vacation came out, he was very sexy.
Yeah.
And Ellen too. I mean, Beverly D'Angelo, who plays his wife.
Oh yeah.
Is gorgeous. Yeah.
Her mother, her sister's also an actress, I believe. I think. Am I correct? Yeah. She was in a James Bond film or something, but, okay. I was just thinking that right before we got on here, so to switch gears, Kelly Ben Simone was in Hello Magazine. Did you read about this? Did you?
No, okay, no. I saw a headline, and I want you to explain it to me.
Yeah,
because I didn't get to read the whole thing, but I did see the headline. But maybe if you could just explain.
I think
it
the
to
main
me.
Grabber, like, from the headline is that she said that a fellow housewife had me banned from the show for over a decade. I guess we can all kind of imagine.
It's
who,
Bethany,
right?
Right? She's got to be talking about Bethany.
It would have to be her because she likes everybody else.
I don't know that I trust anything that Kelly Ben Simone says.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like I feel like her and Bethany, obviously, two things can be true at the same time. Like Bethany could have been, you know, they just don't like each other, but I think they're both usually living in their own kind of universe and neither one is really like based in fact.
I wonder if Bethany likes... I wonder if she likes that Kelly said that, because on some level, I think Bethany likes to think that she has that power.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's true.
But I wonder if Bethany even reads what anybody else. I feel like Bethany just, I mean, just like I. So I kind of grew up a Bethany apologist. Like she used to be my favorite of all the housewives, you know, her comedic timing. She's obviously really smart, but like, so toxic. And I think after this whole like reality reckoning, it's not even the fact that she's trying to like kind of build a union, which I think would probably be beneficial to many people that work in reality television. It's kind of the way she's going about it and talking mostly about herself and her own experiences and not really giving light to other people and their experiences. Right. It's just kind of like, it's a lot. So I actually was going to ask you in a minute if there's something that you're leaving behind in 2023, and Bethany is going to be my thing. I think I'm still going to appreciate what she's given us, but I think that going forward, like we're not going to take her with us into 2024. We've given up hope.
Right. There's so many things so many points that she's made over the last year that I think make a lot of really wonderful sense and that are true and whatever. But yeah, the delivery and it doesn't even feel... It doesn't feel like she's doing it in earnest or in, I don't know if I'm getting the right words out, but
it feels
cynical and
gross. And I also just like, I see a lot of talking being done, but not a lot of listening. Like she loves to talk, but like I just said about the interview with Kelly, which we'll talk about. I just don't think that she would even read, because I don't think she reads what other people write or say or anything. I think she mostly is just interested in hearing herself talk. That's evident because she has three different ongoing podcasts, loves to talk to interviews, does TikToks 5 a day. You know, it's just kind of, it's a lot.
It's a lot. I know. And even if you don't follow, like, because I don't follow.
You can't even escape
everything. And I do not. I don't think I follow her on TikTok or Instagram or any of them, but they just show up now on the feed. And half the time, I don't even know if she's like trolling and like trying to just if she just she is like
it's because like...
sometimes when they show up, I'm like, I don't think she does she even actually believe this, or is she doing this just so that she's getting reaction and then it gets to the top of everyone's feed, or like, yeah. I don't know. None of it makes any sense to me. And yeah. I just imagine the people around her. It reads really sad to me. Like,
it doesn't seem like there's like really anybody around her to say no.
Yeah, I find it very kind of sad. It's just because yeah. I know how much effort it takes to be doing a lot of those videos. And sometimes they might seem off the cuff, but I bet you she's recording them a couple times.
Yeah.
And she's doing it in public. And even if she's just recording them once, it's like, do I have to go with you to like Rite Aid every time you go? Like,
but also, like, why are we filming workers without their consent? Like, exactly. It's just like weird. Like, you know, not everybody wants to be on your TikTok. I don't even film myself. I mean, first off, I just like, no offense to other people that do it, but I just don't film face to camera stuff. That's just like not my thing. It takes a certain type of personality. So to be doing it in public and then do all these different takes, it's just, it's a lot.
And every second, like every once in a while, I might be out somewhere and see something funny. If I'm at like Home Goods or something, I'll be like, oh, that's funny. Like, and I'll take out my phone. But I feel like every time she's in public, and then I always think about like her kid or whoever's around her at the time, just having to bear witness to that. Because like, if you're ever with someone, I have another friend who's like a kind of influencer type, and he always will take out the phone. Like, and it is obnoxious. I shouldn't even be talking about him, but it's like, it's hard to want to go places with him because you're always thinking, oh, it's going to be content.
Totally.
I find it dark-sided.
Bethany did this piece for The Cut.
I loved it. Did you see?
I saw you shared it. I read part of it. I got the gist.
Like, it was
wild. Honestly, you read
me.
One, you get them all, but it's like, this was really kind of more of like a study of her than it was anything.
Like, I bet you she read that. You said you don't think she reads anything. I bet you she read that and was...
Well,
because
it's about her. I bet she reads stuff about her, but I don't think she reads stuff from other people.
I felt like every single paragraph of that piece, there was like one at least shady sentence or shady word in every paragraph towards her. And I couldn't believe it was like through her. like
she refers to herself
as
the Erin Brockovich of reality TV reckoning.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then,
shout out one of my favorite films of all time, by the way. So.
Oh, so good. So good. Yeah, the best. But yeah, that's the thing too with her whole thing. If she keeps equating and using the terms like Me Too or equating with Erin Brockovich. And it's just like, these are different things.
Yeah. Or like, she's like the Norma Rae of like.
Thank God.
It's insane.
I would just love to see all the group chats, like from her old cast members.
Oh yeah.
Group chats with Andy and his friends. Like, I just want to see all the group chats because I know all of them are blowing up every time like something comes out about her.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at
Menards. But just on the other end of the spectrum in terms of wackoness, so Kelly Ben Simone, like I said, was and on the other side of Wacky Town. Kelly Ben Simone was in Hello Magazine, which the piece came out this morning, and she said, you know, we talked about it, that fellow housewife that had me banned from the show, which I think we both can infer is Bethany. But then she also went on to talk about her viral moments. When I say viral, this is like pre-social media, like the Scary Island stuff and, you know, all that.
You're up here, I'm down here.
Exactly. And kind of she was talking a bit about her reality impact. And this is a quote from her. She said, "I don't regret going on the show. I don't regret it at all. I regret not showing more of my life and not being more open. I regret that. If I truly regretted the whole thing, I wouldn't have packaged Scary Island like I did for the media. I wouldn't have taken those iconic moments and tied a bow on them so that they could fly into hyperspace and really make an impact."
Yeah, I don't know if she makes any sense to me.
I don't know. And like, it's kind of like, what I see here is someone trying to kind of like take back those moments. It's like, what do you mean packaged it? Because if we're talking about pre-social media, there was no packaging. You were just a participant and it went out there. But now, like, that's a revisionist history, if I've ever seen it, is like going back and trying to say, if you packaged Scary Island, like right. The only thing packaged there were the gummy bears that you were eating while you were screaming at people at the dinner table. Like,
well, and I think that like her
or Jolly Beans, sorry, they were Jolly Beans.
But I think she's sort of implied or said outright that she created the name Scary Island, and in one of the confessionals in those episodes, which those episodes are, I think, the greatest of all time, that 3-part thing.
Yeah.
But she does, I think, is the first person to use the term Scary Island. And but it's like, that's not packaging. The reason why that then became a thing was because you were acting nuts on the show.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, that wasn't part of the packaging. And I hate myself for knowing this, but like, I've listened and heard and seen interviews with her throughout the years since Scary Island aired. And it does feel like the story changes a lot. And then we hear from production, or we hear from people behind the scenes or cast members saying Kelly was escorted off the island, but then Kelly says she wasn't. So nothing adds up with her.
And saying she was forced to go on the vacation, and then Andy says she wasn't. And then it's a whole thing. But
it's
interesting. She's an interesting person who kind of has a really interesting relationship with the truth. But that
do you follow her on TikTok?
I do not.
Okay, so she's another one that pops up for me. Yeah.
You know what? Any of the Roni women, I'm just not interested. And I'm not saying as people, I just think that like I feel that the problem, this is a larger conversation and this probably will take us on a whole other tangent, but I think the issue with the original Roni and why it stopped working is that it got too meta. It became a show specifically with someone like Luann. It became less about this former housewife who kind of married again and then went through her issues with, I forget his name now.
Count the Count.
Yeah, no, but the Count, but then the sec, Tom.
Tom.
Yep. But it became less about that trajectory and then being like so meta that it's like, I am doing a cabaret show that is about the reality show that I'm on, but now we're filming the reality show around the cabaret that is about the reality. It's like too meta. Right. And then, you know, you look at, I hate to call out Dorinda, but like Dorinda's social media was literally at some point just all coffee mugs with sayings and slogans. I get it. We all want to monetize, but like I need a certain level of distance from the reality. Like, for instance, like The Hills worked at the beginning. This is totally a different show, but because they weren't focusing on the fact that Lauren Conrad was a burgeoning star.
Yeah, it was authentic.
It was her and Audrina living in this crappy apartment and going to Ladue every weekend. And that's what the story was. It wasn't like what they're fighting in Perez Hilton. You know what I mean?
Yeah, everyone's too aware. It even happened this week or this season on The Real Housewives of Orange County. I got so nervous when the new housewife, Jen, who I thought was really good in a throwback Pedranti? Kind of. Yeah, in like throwback housewife.
Oh, I was going to talk about her in a minute. I have a whole thing that I wanted to get your
brain
on. Well, let's
talk about
it.
But specifically, I just want to point out then when the husband, Ryan, immediately had like the dick pic merch hats.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
as it came out on the show, and we know that you have to like plan those things at least a little far in advance. Like it might not take weeks or months, but
anybody that's made merch.
But the fact that you had the merch ready, like, and it wasn't even a memorable moment. It was like, just sort of something that happened on the show that then you were trying to force into a catchphrase, that's when things start to feel just way too cynical. Like in Dorinda's earlier catchphrases felt natural. And then maybe towards the end of the run, you start to be like, wait, are you just like
saying this,
planning these catchphrases? Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying she does specifically, but in general, I feel like housewives tend to,
well,
to go in
fair,
that direction.
I mean,
direction.
If we're going to talk about it, then I do feel like she of any housewife had really caught on very early on that people really loved her and had an affinity for her drunken kind of rants. And then I think kind of just became a thing. I think someone like Sonia maybe really was just off the cuff, just being kooky. And I think that most of the time Sonia was just like really giving stuff that was just out of this universe. Love Sonia, love them all. But well, so that kind of leads me into another topic that I wanted to talk to you about, that new wives and kind of how I was going to talk a bit about Monica, but let's talk about Salt Lake City in a minute. But just new wives. And I was thinking today about NECA because I watched Potomac and we're going to talk about that too. I was thinking about how we treat new wives, especially in the social media sphere. And it's gotten harder to be a new wife coming on because we decide within one episode. When I say we, I mean the collective, like out there in the sphere, not necessarily you and I. But like, I think that like Jen, you know, the Jen that was before Pedranti, I forget her last name, forgive me, but she was on Real Housewives of the OC. Remember, she was like one season.
Yeah, Jen, blonde, and she also had a Noella. Ryan husband. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was Noella at the same time. Then there, I was thinking of NECA on Potomac. We've got Anne Marie, which is a perfect example of this because this woman has said maybe three lines and the majority of Housewives fans can't stand her. Already.
Oh my gosh, really?
Before she even shows up. I think that it also has something to do with some purported kind of like
isn't there stuff about the husband
I think there was like rape allegations that just came out. I haven't read too much into that specifically, but I know that people even before that, I think that there were some comments about trans rights. I'm too fuzzy.
It gets really overwhelming to follow everything that's happening off screen. More recently, I've tried really hard to just like focus on my recaps, like at least just for the sake of my podcast, Everything Iconic. I try to just focus on the shows because it gets overwhelming. And I'm like, I don't know where I heard that or if I heard that or
sometimes
you hear things and they're not even substantiated. It'll be like somebody's DMing you it. And it's like, well, I don't know if this is true.
Exactly. But for me personally, like I don't even typically follow a lot of that stuff, but it is really, I was just thinking about, even if I didn't hear all of those things, I still probably would kind of have a weird taste in my mouth about Anne Marie from Beverly Hills, or I just don't really enjoy Sanya from Atlanta or Drew. NECA, certainly not from Potomac. Didn't love Noella on OC. So it's like, I'm this new kind of class of housewives that we're seeing. I feel like, is there something happening here? Like, are we hiring too many fans on these shows? Are we casting fans? Are we?
I think it's hard to cast now. I think everybody's really aware. I think those people that we really liked in the beginning that are maybe green when it comes to television or just not as filtered, those people aren't signing up for this anymore. And there's a million outlets, so there's a million reality shows that people could get cast on these days versus 20 years ago when Orange County premiered and there weren't only a handful of them. And I don't think people understood how the machine worked and how much money they could make or not make or hiding their stuff. I mean, we've seen people run into tax issues and stuff like that because they get on TV and don't realize like that it's going to put a target on their backs for people to look into their history or their finances or whatever job situations are. So I do think it's just like much harder to cast. And I always hear about Orange County from people behind the scenes saying how hard that one is to cast, because when you really think about it, like Orange County is a small place. It's not like a huge place and it's not filled with people who want to be on television. There's certainly people everywhere that want to be on TV, but it's not like you're in Los Angeles or New York where it's just camera ready people, or at least people who are in the industry. And so when you look at places like Salt Lake or Orange County, those are going to naturally be harder to cast than a New York or Beverly Hills.
Yeah, certainly.
But then when you add on all these other things, I do think it's just hard to find people, and also to find people who like don't have that filter that we like. Like I think sometimes now these people are coming on and they're so cognizant of like the how they're coming across because they don't want to lose the sponsorships, because they know that most of what they make is going to be on those sponsorship deals or those influencing deals, because the networks, unfortunately, they just don't have the money to pay the cast members what they were used to. And even when they were making a lot of money in 5-10 years ago, still they're making more doing those influencer deals. So yeah. I think everyone's very cognizant of that. I noticed a big shift. Do you ever watch that show, The Challenge, on MTV?
I don't.
It was I loved The Challenge for so long. And then they started bringing in new people, younger people. And it felt like every season it started to get more and more sanitized because the younger generation that was coming on the show, even though they might have only been 4, 5, 6 years younger than the people who had been doing it for years and came more from the real world, they were so much more media savvy. And you could tell they would almost like kind of go up to the line of like where the line was, mm-hmm. and then they'd pull back because they'd think about an influencer. So you'd either have one of two things happen. You'd have that person who like was censoring themselves, mm-hmm. or it felt like you have the opposite person who was going so far over the line just to have a big moment, a splashy yeah. TV moment that feels so inauthentic. So it was like yeah. one of the two of those. And I think that happens with Housewives too, where it's like, we're getting one of those two archetypes instead of just someone who's like naturally themselves.
Let me ask you, is there a housewife currently that you think has jumped the shark, that has overstayed their welcome?
Oh, Potomac, I think needs, I would like to see some casting changes on Potomac. It just seems like they're, even if they're going to keep the same.
Anyone in cast, particular, or are you just in general?
I think it would be really good for the show to either demote or get rid of either Giselle or Robin. Like, yeah, to break one of, to break them
Robin,
up.
Probably, for me.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, for me too, I think, but I also think there could be something interesting could happen if they just demoted. And I'm a big fan of like that friend of season, like that happened with Luann or Portia, where it's like,
yeah,
just make them a friend of for a season. And then we can always bring them back or, yeah. you know, put them on pause for a minute. So I think the dynamics of that show just need a change. And I think the easiest way would be doing that with either Robin or Giselle. So I think, yeah, Robin makes the most sense to me. And also just it's frustrating to watch her seemingly still covering for Juan or hiding things. Yeah. And I understand.
I don't think we've learned anything.
Yet.
Yeah, I don't think she's learned anything from this experience.
Frustrating to watch.
And I don't think we're learning anything about the relationship. So it's kind of like, what are we doing here? But that's we're definitely gonna talk about Potomac in a minute.
The reason why I think Giselle would be good, mm-hmm. sorry to interrupt you, to demote Giselle instead of Robin is because I think it would more greatly affect the dynamics because she That's is true. Such a strong presence. So I think it might sort of get everyone else to step up. And then I think having one season where we bring Giselle back, it would just kind of balance everything out a little more, I think.
I'd agree with that. Honestly, you could do so much with that show and it wouldn't really, you know.
And they're also great individually. I just think we've gotten to this point this season where just nobody wants to be there with each other.
Egos.
So it's like, what are we doing?
Well, it's a show of ego now, which is... This actually brings me to the first thing on my list, B's list this week. The ghost of OC passed, Jesus Jugs, Alexis Bellino. Oh my God. There's like reports that she might come back to the show, which goes perfectly with kind of, I was talking about wives that have kind of like maybe jumped the shark. I think maybe taking her out at that point in the game was great, but I think the return of her could be really interesting. From what I understand, I think she has like a trans kid now and she hangs out with Heather Dubrow. So they kind of have that in common.
And she's dating John. It was just confirmed today that she is. She go on a date. She at least
has Shannon Bedore's ex. This is
with John the ex. She was at least it was confirmed. I think today, or at least I shouldn't say bring confirmed. Her back. I just saw a headline, but I think it was confirmed that
bring her
it
back.
Was. Exactly. You couldn't have a better story.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah,
that's really all.
With Orange, County in general, I'm like a big fan of bringing the old characters back, just because. They've tried to cast so many new people and rarely works. So I'm like, okay, it's not working with new people. Like, let's just go back to the well and like squeeze whatever we can out of those people.
Is there any wife that, you know, those kind of those housewives that come in and you're like, they're new, you don't know anything really about them. And then about 6 or 7 episodes in, you're like, how did this show ever exist without you? Like when I thought of Dorinda, when we first met her, like after about half a season, I was like, it feels like you've always been here. But you're brand new. Or like Shannon was kind of like that when she first came on. Are there any, who's the last kind of housewife where you sat back and you thought that to yourself?
Like, I'll probably regret saying this, I'm sure, in like a week or two. But I do feel like Monica in Salt Lake City has sort of invigorated the franchise. And even when she frustrates me or whatever, I still think she is so good for the show and on the show. And it feels like she's been there for a while.
You know, the way I describe Monica is I feel the same way that you do. I feel trepidatious about kind of giving support because we don't know the full story yet about what this, you know, finale's cliffhanger is. But I use this. Do you ever heard that the saying a crush is just a lack of information?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I think of when I think of Monica. Like, I want to like her, but I feel like there's going to be something where I'm not going to like her, because there's got to be a reason why she's so close to Jin Shah, or was, you know?
I know, and I feel the exact same way. I feel the exact same way. I just think there's a lot of things we don't know. I've also just heard so many things kind of behind the scenes that don't line up with what we're seeing on the show.
Yeah.
And so that leads me trepidatious. And sometimes it's hard to know if, like, those things that you hear or that we kind of hear behind the scenes, if those things are, like, true, or if those are people trying to plant things or what, because some of the stuff that I've heard, it just feels like we're not getting the full picture of her, but maybe we will by the end of the season, or maybe the things that I'm hearing are all a bunch of bullshit lies. So I don't know. I think we're going to have to see.
The interesting thing about this show is that I feel like this show, Salt Lake City, more than any other show, maybe more than any other reality show in general, leaves you with more questions every time you finish watching than you came in, than answers. Like, I feel like there's just, like, whether it's the Jin Shah or the Mary Cosby of it all, or the Black Eye, I feel like there's just, like, so many unanswered things when it comes to Salt Lake City, when other series you can get, like, pretty much wrapped up, like, answers by the end of the season. Do you know what I mean?
Don't you feel like there's smoke, there's fire with Monica too, because no one apparently, like, no one in the cast besides Mary Cosby likes her.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the instinct is to be like, oh, everybody's bullying her off the show. But I just feel like that.
I don't know that they're
all gathering to, like, bully this woman. Maybe that's true and I'm being naive, but it seems like there has to be more to the story if the whole cast is wanting to not even doesn't like you, but, like, is Heather Gay, she might have reason with the lawsuit situation,
yes,
but, like,
absolutely.
You're telling me, like, the whole group of women is saying they don't like her, or some are saying they don't want to film with her. Like, that isn't adding up to me.
Yeah, especially when they decided to still film with Jin Shah after all the stuff that happened. I think they probably have really good reason to.
There's got to be something that we don't know yet.
This actually leads me to the second thing on my list this week perfectly, because I was just talking about Jin Shah and I was going to kind of ask you a bit about that. I don't like Jin Shah. She's kind of, like, even just without all.
Okay, well, that's a wrap on this, because she's my favorite housewife. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I think she's just wholly uninteresting, like, as a reality television, not even as a villain. Like, she's not even, like, a great villain to me, because she's just not interesting, and there's not, like, anything that really, like, attaches you to her, anything going on in her life. She's just kind of mean and crazy to me. But I was thinking about, and this is the second thing on my list this week, is George Santos expelled from Congress this week. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, I spent a lot of my time over the past, God, however long he's been in Congress, and since he's been found out to be a fraud, joking about him, memeing about him, which is all fun and games. We should all do that because we were stuck with him. But today he started a Cameo account where he's charging $150 per Cameo, and a lot of people
got up to 200. I think it just got up to 200.
Yeah, in the past 2 hours, right? It's crazy. There was a state senator who's a progressive state senator who actually just posted a Cameo that she got from him, and she's laughing about it. And I'm like, there is a level, though, because now we're just paying him. And it's okay to, like, joke and meme about him when we had to deal with him, and he's not getting paid for that. But now we're actually actively supporting him and platforming him. And it's like, this is the problem that I have, is when does it get too far, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you mentioned Jin Shah.
Jin Shah, like, people are like, she's an icon. And I'm like, I never want to see this woman again. Like, she's defrauded, like, senior citizens. Like,
and wasn't she selling merch right after she was sentenced?
Probably.
Wasn't she still selling free Jen, or maybe after she had already went away or something? I don't know the specifics of it. But yeah, it's like, there does come a point we have to realize, like, where our money's going.
Take it too far.
And maybe just that should be the line of, like,
yeah,
it's okay to laugh and have our ha ha hee hee, but maybe don't need to be helping fund their escape.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
Whether it's good or bad, it's just something I've been thinking about today, you know, and it's just kind of really enraged me a bit because it's like, we're going to be stuck with this guy for like a decade now. Like, we're never going to get rid of him. He's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. And then,
and then probably on Bravo at some point, a housewife husband or something. I don't know. Yeah. We have to, certain people, I think it's okay to have them in the spotlight for a minute and then to say, that's enough.
Yeah. I want to ask you, I didn't even ask you your first thing on your list yet. I want to ask you this, and then let's go over to the bonus episode, because I do want to talk to you about a few other things. I want to talk to you about the rest of your list. I want to talk to you about New Roni. I want to talk about Real Size of Potomac and what's broken with it, because I'm sure you have some opinions, and a few other things. But yeah, what's on your...
What's on my must list?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there... I hope everyone picks up my book. That's a gross plug, but yes, hopefully that'll be on.
Okay, that's a good Christmas list. Yeah,
people must list. and then, yeah, what am I watching right now? I feel like I'm watching all sorts of stuff. I just watched May December. Did you see this movie?
I didn't. I do kind of want to see it, but I actually
it's
have
heavy.
I'll probably see it. I feel like I really want to see Napoleon for some reason. I love a biopic.
Oh, yeah.
And because I also love a biopic, I also have Priscilla on the list too. Even if it's like, I don't fully support the love story part about it. I do like Sofia Coppola. Sorry, she's Nepo baby, but she's kind of an icon. So,
May, December, I'm like very hesitant to recommend it because it is a heavy subject matter, but I loved it. And I was sort of surprised because it is
based on true story, right? Yeah. It's Mary Letourneau, right? Is that?
Yeah. I don't know if it's exact. It's not like them exactly, but it's based on that. I think. Yeah. But the performances I thought were so great, but I tweeted or posted something about it. And I was surprised by how many people who said they didn't like it. It kind of shocked me because I just thought it was like brilliant. So I don't know, maybe it's like a love it or hate it kind of thing, but I thought it was so good but heavy and dark, but watching Natalie and Julianne Moore and Charles Melton, who plays the male lead, I just think they're all like so fucking good. And I was there was a bunch of these scenes where it's like Natalie Portman's character is sort of mirroring Julianne Moore's character, and without giving anything away, it's just like I found it mesmerizing to watch every time it was happening. It was like I'm like watching Natalie Portman, I'm like, how the fuck is she doing that? Like, she's being so good as an actor. So I loved that. And then also there was a movie called The Holdovers, which I loved, with Paul Giamatti, which is more not upbeat. It's not like silly and goofy.
It's kind of got like a Jason, or what's it called? Who's the director of Rushmore? I'm like brain dead today. That vibe.
I know who you're talking about.
Wes Anderson.
It's the guy who did it is the one who did Sideways. Did you ever see that?
A long time ago. Paul Giamatti.
It's like that vibe. It's that tone where it's like kind of that mix of like a dramedy, but it's it's set at Christmas time, and the performances are great. And it feels sort of like a movie that was made in the 70s to me, even graphically and everything. It feels like a throwback movie. But to me, that was my favorite movie of the year that I've seen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The Holdovers. So I really loved it. Maybe it won't be for everybody, but I just thought it was brilliant. So both of those are, I'd say, on my must.
Well, we've got some more of your list to get into, to dig into on the bonus episode. You guys can go to patreon.com/thebelist to subscribe to the bonus episode. So we're going to talk about, like I said, his list, talk a bit more about, I wanted to ask your opinions on New Roni, Potomac, like I said, all of those. But first, I want you to just tell people where to follow you on social and tell them about the book, where to find it. And anything else you've got coming up.
I'm at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And the book is called The Jolliest Bunch. It's available wherever books are sold, or you can call your library up and request it, or an audiobook. And then my last book is out in paperback too. So if you like The Jolliest Bunch, you can pick up the other one, which is How Do I Unremember This? And they're sort of, if people are familiar with David Sedaris, it's sort of that style of writing. So each chapter, you could pick up and read a chapter and then put it down and then pick up and read some more, or read it all in one sitting. But it's an easy and hopefully very fun read.
And you also co-authored with Ariana, right? Didn't you?
I did. Yeah, the cocktail book with Ariana and Tom.
Perfect for the holidays.
Yes.
Good Christmas gift.
Fancy AF cocktails. And she's got a new one of single AF cocktails.
I was actually thinking about getting it because I'm going to a Yankee swap next week. So is that the name of it?
Yeah. Single AF is that new one. But I don't make any money off. I didn't work on that one. So buy my books.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But we love to support her too. We buy those too. If you got money left over, then buy the single AF cocktails. Anyway.
Okay. You guys know where to find me on social. Like I said, patreon.com/thebelist to get subscribed to the bonus episode. We are going to keep the conversation going over there. Danny, thank you for joining me today, but we're going to continue talking.
Yeah. Can't wait.
See you guys. Love you.
Of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.